This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff. RAF gives the world's top wrestlers the stage they earned but never had until now.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
Everyone, welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. I am so glad you are there because we are here. Coming up on the show, you're going to love it. Senator Scott Brown wants to be senator again. He wants to flip the seat in New Hampshire. He'll tell us his game plan. Gary Brecka wants you to live longer, and he's going to tell you how. Don't miss a minute of that. Tom Shalhoub on the media moments that really matter to us. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. We have spent the last 36 hours focusing on what on for 3.5 hours behind closed doors over in Alaska. U.S. versus Russia, kinda, really Russia versus Ukraine. It would have been great to hear that Russia agreed to a ceasefire and gradually we're going to leave all their stolen land from Ukraine and just go back to their borders. But that was never going to happen. In reality, this was just the beginning of the end, I believe, of the nearly four-year war. Why would I say that? Well, the status quo is not okay with us, not okay with Ukraine, not okay with Europe, and dare I say Russia. More importantly, it's not okay with President Trump. And he has an A plan, and he's got a B plan. This is the A plan.
And the president, as a mediator, was looking for ways to solve the crisis. He understands that it is for the Ukrainians to decide how they might land swap, how they might make a deal with the Russians on different territories there. But that's why Zelensky and the Europeans are coming to the White House on Monday to make those decisions themselves.
It's up to the Ukrainians to make these conditions. We have to make enough progress so that we can sit down President Zelensky and President Putin in the same place, which is what President Zelensky has been asking for, and reach a final agreement that ends this war.
Yes, for Ukraine and Russia to reach an agreement. We're trying to bring both sides together. So what did we learn from this summit? Number one, Putin wants to freeze the lines he has grabbed and the entire Donbas region, even areas he cannot take militarily, which is rich in iron, rich in coal, rich in rare earth. While I can't see dislodging Russia from the 18% of Ukraine that they stole, I can't see them being gifted the strategic land known as the Fortress Belt either. We also know there is no immediate ceasefire. What else have we learned? Well, that the Russians didn't ask for two disputed regions, Sumy and Kharkiv. That's significant. And Vladimir Putin no longer objects to security guarantees, which include international forces, which is the only true bloc to another invasion. But still, some say it's not a win without a ceasefire.
Not only do you need a deal that's verifiable, that's enforceable, and that's enduring. If you don't achieve that, then I think you could have a ceasefire for a few months, a few weeks, and then the war will start again and more people will die. That's not the outcome we're interested in.
Right. So why not hit them with secondary sanctions already? Give the Ukrainians $300 billion in frozen Russian funds. Slap tariffs on China. Slap them on Brazil and Turkey for doing business in Russia, like buying their cheap oil. We could. We still might. But not yet. Why? Simple. It eliminates peace as an option.
The moment the president puts those additional sanctions, that's the end of the talks. You've basically locked in at least another year to year and a half of war and death and destruction. We may unfortunately wind up there, but we don't want to wind up there. We want to wind up with a peace deal that ends this war so Ukraine can go on with the rest of their lives and rebuild their country and be assured that this is never going to happen again. That's the goal here. We're going to do everything possible to make that happen if it's doable.
It's doable. And frustratingly true. Maybe a ceasefire is not what we want. As for what was accomplished Friday leading into the meeting with our European allies tomorrow, including President Zelensky, all the issues are being confronted and addressed in a compressed timeline. As for the optics, I loved the flyover. Could have done without the red carpet. But I loved the theme on the step and repeat behind the leaders. They're focusing on pursuing peace. But the usual critics lined up.
But although it was presented as perhaps a show of power by being at a U.S. Air Force base with the flight passing of the B-52s, it did certainly look much more like a show of appreciation for Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin got the red carpet treatment on American soil. Donald Trump got flattered by Vladimir Putin.
He left without Trump even applying any additional sanctions or severe measures, such as President Trump said that he would. So I guess you call that Putin one, Trump zero.
I sense that they would have been critical regardless. And in terms of the final score, it is not the final score. If you feel, and I love Ambassador Volker, but if you feel that way, that it's 1-0, just keep in mind, this game has just begun, but it is turning around the backstretch. Stop focusing on where the process starts, which was Friday, and look at where the finish line is.
To all these media analysts who say this was a bust, that's ridiculous. We have progress we didn't have before. We have momentum for peace. We'll see where it goes. So I'll leave it up to Trump.
So joining me now, Fox News senior strategic analyst General Jack Keane, four-star general. He also writes the Institute for the Study of War. He gives you an idea of what's happening almost as it happens in real time. General, what was your takeaway from Friday?
Yeah, well, I think the major things that happened are largely positive. And one is Putin asked for this meeting. That in itself was a big statement, an in-person meeting. The president wanted Zelensky at it. Putin said no, but tentatively agreed to the possibility of that based on how the initial meeting went with President Trump. And why did Putin want the meeting? Well, I think he wants to avoid tariffs and sanctions for sure. And he would like to talk to the president and wind up putting some pressure on Zelensky as a result of it, try to separate the president from Zelensky and from the Euros, you know, who are supporting him. So, you know, obviously he has some objectives here, to be sure. The president deserves credit for getting him there. He would not have gotten there without the threat of the sanctions of what happened in India with the 50% tariff that's been slapped on him. And I've always believed that our adversaries have had to reset and reassess as a result of a very successful military strike on Iran, which ended their nuclear program and begun to reset the table in the Middle East. And everybody has paid attention to that in terms of its decisiveness and certainly the geopolitical impacts that are coming from it. And it says, unstated, that right. President Trump is a no-nonsense, serious person. He certainly wants peace, but he's not going to hesitate to use force to stop something bad from happening. So I think, put all that together, Putin comes to meet with President Trump. I think coming out of that, are we disappointed that we didn't get a ceasefire and the killing stop? So, yeah, of course. And I think President Trump feels the same way about it. But the fact that they didn't get into the specifics of what took place and where the agreements were and where the disagreements still lie, right, because there's so much work in progress there, you know, people walk away and say, well, there's nothing there. Nothing happened but a red carpet and a flyover. Well, that's nonsense. A lot of things have happened here. And the reality is there's a potential trilateral meeting, including President Zelensky. I think the president's going to assess that based on what, right, what is happening here in Washington, D.C. And let's look at this. We got all the senior leaders in Europe. They're here now for a meeting tomorrow with the president. And this includes the secretary general. All the top leaders of the European countries are here. And obviously, President Zelensky is here with his team. And what are they all working on? They're all working on peace with President Trump. That in itself is a huge step, right, forward, to see that kind of unity here. Very positive thing going forward. I think really,
so General,
a lot of discussion tomorrow, Brian, is...
Right. Go ahead.
A lot of discussion tomorrow is going to center around one of the positive things that has come out of the Friday meeting. And that is security guarantees were asked for, and Putin said yes. That's a reasonable approach. That's a statement. It's not action. but it's something that has never been said before. And a lot of time on Monday is going to be devoted to what those security guarantees right. are. And if those security guarantees take the form of Article 5-like, troops on the ground backed up by air power to make certain that to provide a deterrence against Putin advancing, we have a ceasefire, there's some kind of a permanent agreement in place, and you have those security guarantees that it holds in place. If that is real and it takes form, that is a game changer in of itself. And that is an incredible positive outcome from Friday's meeting. That is what President Zelensky has wanted from the beginning, and that is what the United States wants.
So I want you to take a look at this map, what Russia wants. They want areas of the Donbas that they have not won, that's been fortified by the Ukrainians since 2014, and it's vital because it also provides a highway right to Kharkiv. They could swap that for Sumy and Kharkiv. Your thoughts about that one area that it looks like Zelensky does not want to give up, and I'm sympathetic towards his belief.
Well, as we've talked about it, you know, for a week now, there's a fortified piece of that terrain in there, encompasses five cities that they haven't been able to take in the last 26 months, and they've thrown their army at it. They tried in 2014 with considerably less than an army, failed miserably. And based on our analysis at the Institute for the Study of War, and I know where our military analysis is on it, the guys that are in Europe looking at this every day, they couldn't take it in the foreseeable future either. But that everything begins to change in terms of what land is available and what swaps should be made if those Article 5 guarantees are really real. And that actually, this is Zelensky's issue, all right, shaped by the Europeans and also discussed by the president and his team. He has to make the decisions about what land to give up. And could he get portions of Zaporizhia or portions of Kherson or others in return? But I think everything is on the table given the Article 5 guarantees if they're real.
I know. And you're pumped up by that, and so am I. Hopefully this continues to make progress, and the Russians stand by what they said in that meeting. General Jack Keane, you're the best. Thanks so much. Coming up on this show, newly released emails reveal Russiagate actually was a smear campaign against Trump. Chairman Jim Jordan on that. And next, Scott Brown. Well, he wants to be senator again. He wants to flip that seat in New Hampshire in November. More One Nation next. Looks like he'll fit right in.
To show why purple is the greatest.
So on this tour across New York City, each and every borough, as we stand against the Trump administration's attacks on the very fabric of the place we call home, we also lay out what our vision will look like. It is not enough to fight against authoritarianism. What are you also fighting for? We are fighting to keep this city a sanctuary city.
Do you believe he's running on that? Mamdani madness has been sweeping all five boroughs of New York City, even landing on the front page of Time magazine. And they really were nice to him in this story. Unfortunately, all of this is fueling a push for progressive candidates nationwide in the Democratic Party. In Minnesota, for example, self-described Democratic socialist and prospective Minneapolis Mayor Omar Fatah of Somalia says his top priority, if he wins, is to protect illegal immigrants. Fantastic. And by the way, he's going to win. And in Seattle, it's Mamdani 2.0. Mayoral candidate Katie Wilson is campaigning on a, quote, populist economic message that puts affordability of care at its heart and mobilizes young grassroots community organizers. Does that sound familiar? Joining us right now for more on the Mamdani effect is New Hampshire Senate candidate, Republican, former U.S. Ambassador to New Zealand, Scott Brown. Scott, is the rise of Mamdani and the socialist a blessing for Republicans? But to me, that might be true, but I also find it scary for Americans.
Well, first of all, Brian, it's great to see you, and thank you for having me on. Certainly, it's very disturbing, especially for New York City, the financial capital of the world, to think that you have somebody who's an anti-Semite and wants to tax rich white neighborhoods to give out free stuff. And who's not attracted by free stuff? But the fact that it's failed in other parts of the country, this is the Democratic Party of today, the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warrens, and now Mamdani. And this is what they're going to have to run on nationally in 26. And don't be surprised if he wins, that he won't be coming here to New Hampshire in the first in the nation primary to try to export that type of socialist communist beliefs around the country. And I don't think it's going to work.
As people should know, Scott Brown thinks he can flip that seat, and many experts do too in New Hampshire. And he's running against Chris Pappas. You asked him basically flat out, reject Mamdani. Tell everyone you're a moderate, like, I don't know, Rahm Emanuel or Joe Manchin, and he won't do it. What does that tell you?
Well, what it tells me, he called me pathetic because apparently I guess I'm the problem. He needs to answer the question. I mean, you have Elizabeth Warren, AOC, Bernie Sanders endorsements. You know, they support Mamdani as well. Does he or does he not support this type of politics for the Democratic Party? And he is one of them. That's what he's trying to say, because when they come back from D.C., Brian, you know this for a fact. You've seen it forever. They come back as moderates and they, I'm this guy and I'm that guy. No, they are part of the extreme left of the Democratic Party, higher taxes, you know, obviously more regulations, you know, insecure borders, not supporting our ICE officials, men and boys and women and girls sports. That's who he is. That's who they are. And the question is, does America want that? And I say absolutely not.
I was shocked to see that Barack Obama has called him, talked to him for an hour, and a lot of his former staffers seem to want to help Mamdani. When asked if he's a socialist, he says yes. Usually that is a third rail of American politics, but now it's embraced. Let's move on and talk about something else important, and say the strategy for combating crime in big cities. It begins in Washington, D.C. National Guard are fanned out throughout the area, helping arrest people and bring a semblance of order to the city, the governor of Maryland. And he basically said, I'm a member of the military. National Guard should not be doing law enforcement. How do you stand?
Yeah, listen, I am also, I served almost 39 years. I enlisted as a PFC and retired as a colonel, last four at the Pentagon, advising the Joint Chiefs. He has the absolute authority. D.C. is different than any other place in the country, respectfully. And you know it as well as I know it. The homelessness, the crime. I had a car, when I was a senator, my car was carjacked and we found it somewhere with it basically stripped down to nothing. And that was 15 years ago. It's a problem. This is our capital, the capital of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., the center of power. And it's basically that the mayor should do her job. They want to be a state? Give me a break. It's never going to happen. Do your damn job. Make sure the streets are safe and secure. Clean the streets, because we have the 250th, and tourists are going to be coming there. We need to represent. It should be a showcase for the world.
You went to a, you were ambassador of New Zealand. You know, President Trump thinks a lot of you, and you were there early, even before he got the nomination, doing fundraisers for him. What's the big difference between Trump 1 and Trump 2, 45 and 47?
Well, I remember distinctly when in the first go around, as you know, he was basically the Russia thing that really, you know, tied him up in terms of doing the things and spreading his wings like he wanted to. He was always on his heels, always on the defensive. And he didn't get half of the nominees that he wanted to get through so he could actually do his job. Well, I was fortunately one of them, 94-4, got through. The second guy out the door behind Israel, longest serving behind Israel, is an honor to serve. And I think he's doing a great job when it comes to what he's doing this term, especially trying to, you know, stop wars. You know, obviously meeting with Putin one-on-one like he did with Kim Jong-un the first term, trying to get them to look in the eyes and figure it out, because the other ways aren't working, Brian. You know, the fact that he thinks outside the box and tries to solve problems, whether it's going after the bully in Iran, and no one in the Democratic Party thanked our men and women who did the mission, or the president, and then what he's doing on the border, getting our country safe and secure, unlike what Biden did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he has that ability now. You have the majority, and we have to keep it. That's one of the reasons I'm running, actually. North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan, and potentially Kentucky up for grabs. Little old New Hampshire could be the one that determines who controls the Senate.
No doubt about it. The question is Mark Wayne Mullen feel threatened by you? Because he is known as the fittest guy in the Senate, but you run triathlons. And if you do, in fact, win, you will be a threat to the Oklahoma senator. You guys got to work that out. Senator, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, new declassified Russiagate emails reveal the manufactured intelligence was a smear campaign against Trump, and it became the very and it came from the very top, and that was President Obama. You know, one email reading from DNI James Clapper to then National Security Agency Director Mike Rogers is pretty damning. It says, quote, "It is essential that we, CIA, NSA, FBI, ODNI, be on the same page and are all supportive of the report and the report showing collusion. In the highest tradition of that's our story, and we're sticking to it." Why isn't anybody talking about this? And there's more. Let's talk to Ohio Congressman, Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan. Great to see you, Congressman. These emails, and I'm about to show you another one shortly, really bring us into the interaction between all of the higher-ups. What does it tell you?
Yeah, they changed the assessment. They changed what the career people who were getting the right intelligence community assessment, they changed that. We know what Director Gabbard, when Tulsi released this information a few weeks ago, they had one intelligence community assessment that had the presidential daily brief ready to go in December of 2016, and they changed it. And they changed it at the prompting, it looks like, of President Obama. They had a meeting in the White House then on December 9th of 2016, and they decide to do something different. And they put something different together that became the basis for this whole Russia hoax, the idea that Putin wanted Trump to win, which we know was ridiculous. But they changed what the career people had put together. That, to me, is the big takeaway here. And then, of course, when it's January 6, 2017, Brian, and they go up to Trump Tower to give President Trump what he believes is the defensive briefing that all presidents get, president-elects get, instead what it is really a setup. And they go up there and they talk to him, and then Comey talks to him about the dossier that they already knew was false. And then they leak that information, thereby giving the dossier credibility that it, you know, it is a false document. And they're off and running with this 2 years of Mueller and everything else they did to undermine President Trump. So, yeah, this was bad. And it looks to me like Brennan is maybe one of the key players in all of this when they decided to change the actual assessment, what the intelligence community report said. It looks like Brennan's maybe the key player here.
When they said to him, you know, the dossier doesn't look correct. He goes, but doesn't it sound correct? Really? You're the CIA director. So here's another exchange that I thought was noteworthy. I want to share it with our audience. And this is Rogers to Clapper. He says this: "I'm concerned that given the expedited nature of this activity, my folks aren't fully comfortable saying that they've had enough time to review all of the intel to be absolutely confident in their assessments." That seems like a responsible thing to say. But you know the response from Clapper was?
Yeah.
"More time is not negotiable." How unique is that exchange?
Yeah, this is James Clapper wanting to get President Trump. I mean, we know this was the mindset of all these guys. We know it was the mindset of Brennan, of Clapper, of Adam Schiff, for goodness sake. So, yeah, this was the mindset. Forget what the report says. Forget what we should do. Forget protocol and procedure. Let's go after President Trump. And understand, again, it goes clear back to the campaign. They used the false dossier. The Clinton campaign hired Perkins Coie, who hired Fusion GPS, who hired a foreigner, Christopher Steele, who put together this garbage document that they used to get warrants to spy on a presidential campaign. Probably never happened in American history. So that was the beginning, and then they just keep progressing. They had bought into this narrative. They were going to make sure this was the narrative, even though the facts didn't support it. And they altered documents, altered the report to achieve the narrative that they had predetermined was going to be what they were going to use to undermine President Trump.
And just quick on the emails this week, the story, Daniel Richmond, the professor friend of James Comey, was getting intel from Comey, the FBI director. Richmond was talking to Michael Schmidt of The New York Times. Michael Schmidt wins a Pulitzer for his work on the phony Russian collusion. Can you believe James Comey leaking to the New York Times directly to save his image and destroy Trump?
Yeah, I mean, look, we had the opportunity to depose a number of people over the last several years investigating this and a host of other things. This is just the arrogance of Jim Comey. And frankly, Brennan and Clapper weren't a whole lot different. We actually deposed them last Congress relative to the 51 former intel officials who signed the letter on the Hunter Biden laptop issue, which was ridiculous, their assessment. So, yeah, this is the arrogance of these guys. This was their effort to go after President Trump. They decided they were going to do it. They broke all the rules. And the scary thing to me was, never forget what Chuck Schumer said. Right before President Trump is sworn into office, January 3rd, 2017, Chuck Schumer is doing a TV show on Rachel Maddow, and he says, when you mess with the intelligence community, referring to President Trump and some of the comments he had made, he said, when you mess with the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. Which is a scary statement. The idea that the top Democrat would be saying that bureaucrat, people who aren't elected, are going to get back at the guy we, the people, put in office as the commander in chief. That is frightening. But that is exactly what they tried to do. How dare their attitude was, how dare President Trump become president? He wasn't supposed to win. We're going to do everything we can to undermine him. And that's what Comey and Clapper and Brennan and the whole crew did.
As we get more and more information, more and more emails, we'd love to have you back because you know the big story. Now we're getting the details. And I will know this. Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, John Ratcliffe, Tulsi Gabbard will not be doing that to Democrats or Republicans. They'll just be doing their job. Thanks so much, Congressman. Great to see you.
Exactly right.
Appreciate it. Hey, meanwhile, I want to see you in person. I was just in Dayton, Ohio, where the congressman works, but I'm going to be History, Liberty, and Laughs with Fox Nation next Saturday night on the 23rd in Dallas, Texas, in Richmond, Virginia, September 27th, and then in Potsdam, Pennsylvania, right after that. We just added. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. I want to see you in person. Next on this show, the media moments that matter with Tom Shalhoub, and that's his plaid shirt. What he's drinking, are you thinking about me?
The Chevy Equinox is more than moments that
matter. It's time now for my favorite segment. How do I know? Because it's in the prompter. It turns out every week it's my favorite segment. This week, I gave my VCR, I gave all my cords and my tape stock to Tom Shalhoub.
Yes.
And Tom, I had one mission for you. Pick out the best three moments in media this week. Did you do it?
I did. These are very important. I don't know if they're the best in a cheery sense, but they're the most important.
Yes. That's right.
Okay, CNN analyst Kimberly Dozier says it doesn't matter that the Al Jazeera correspondent who was killed was a Hamas operative.
I would like to hear her say that.
Yeah.
The Israeli Defense Forces are saying he was a Hamas operative. No one in the Arab world, few people in the journalist world believe that. And it doesn't matter. He was reporting on air to a prominent channel to millions of people.
So it's the issue, the targeting, that they're just like, yes.
The Israelis didn't build a case and present it in international court or present it to Al Jazeera and say, you've got to fire this guy.
Really? So they have to build a case in an active war to take out a guy who's a member of Hamas? They have him with Hamas terrorists.
Yes. Well, the thing that she said, it doesn't matter. She said he's a journalist. So essentially she's saying hands off if you're a journalist. That's not true. I mean, we don't want any journalist to be hurt. But if you are a terrorist, do you remember Mumia Abu Jamal?
Yes.
They wanted to release him from prison because he was a journalist. And he was a journalist. That was his profession. His problem was his hobby, killing police officers.
That is a huge problem. And Tom, it's just that whole derangement syndrome when it comes to Israel and Gaza. There's no way they see their side.
Yeah.
Something else I'm a part of, but you laid the groundwork for.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
John Leguizamo was pushing back, as they say.
You mean the actor?
Yes, John Leguizamo. Mambo Mouth. Remember him?
Yes.
Ice Age. He says Dean Cain is a has-been.
Because
Dean Cain, he has joined up with ICE, and he's helping them recruit. And John Leguizamo, he said that his pronouns are has and been.
Watch.
What kind of loser volunteers to be an ICE officer? What a moron. Dean Cain, your pronouns are has been.
John Leguizamo's not that young anymore. What's he doing? Going after his age?
Right. And by the way, why are you dressed like a rapper in a bathroom? But here's the thing.
All Dean Cain did is say, I'm trying to support law enforcement. Do you know he's like an honorary sheriff and two separate kids? He's into law enforcement. He's trying to help out.
And he was recruiting. He said he listed the benefits, and he's trying to get agents to go out there. And these are law enforcement people. They're helping protect Americans.
I don't think people understand that. They can't really wrap their heads around it. But I asked Dean Cain on my radio show, which we also stream, about how he feels about being called out by Leguizamo.
Does that bother you?
Oh, that was like a knockout punch, Brian. I don't know how I'm ever going to recover from that bad boy. Listen, I like John Leguizamo, so that's a little bit disappointing, you know? I think he's a very talented actor, very good guy, but there are rules. One of the rules is don't drunk tweet from a concert in the bathroom.
Yes, that is a rule I live by, and I learned that from my parents.
Classy, too. He said he likes him. He's talented. That's the way you deal with it.
Right.
Because, you know, Dean Cain's talented. Leguizamo's talented. They all have their opinions. Big deal.
All right, so we're going to end with this, to marry all your skills. You got the news thing down. You're a singer, but you're also a comedian.
Yes.
Our comedy's back.
Yes, and you know, Naked Gun is a massive hit. We were just looking up the numbers before we
Naked
went to
Gun
air.
In the theaters is actually getting people's attention.
Yes, and the great Leslie Nielsen, but now we have Liam Neeson, who has, as you know, a very specific set of skills, and we can add comedy to that list.
Did you know he had this?
I did know. He's a great actor, and all great actors, they're always surprised when dramatic actors do comedy. They shouldn't. Because it's just acting.
Hey, Tom, I asked you to get a trailer. Are we able to get a trailer?
Yeah, I did. I brought it with me.
Oh.
And you, Frank, are the best of the best.
Yeah. Need a bathroom.
I need this room immediately.
There's a line, man.
Police business.
Oh, I'm going to ruin another suit.
I mean, I was looking at some of these numbers. They make like $56 million already, right?
Very
Rotten
successful.
Tomatoes says it's great.
Yep. And audience score and the critics. You know what that trailer reminded me of?
What?
Traveling with Gutfeld.
Which I wouldn't know, but you open up for him all his live shows.
Yes, yes. And he sometimes has a problem with, you know.
Eating and driving?
Well, eating and gas.
Did not know that. But I like breaking news here. Thank you so much, Tom Shalhoub. You are a national treasure. Next, we have the keys to longevity with health guru to the stars, Gary Brecka. Keep it right here. You're watching One Nation, and that's Dana White.
God is my everything.
God is my father.
Family is everything.
Football is what keeps me going.
Let's go!
Our quarterback's
the number one in America.
It's my senior year.
Yeah, I got you.
To make the most of it.
Yeah.
Tell me your biggest dream.
Just making it out.
We're going to work hard.
Nice.
Do our job. And let God do the rest.
Get ready.
God, Family, Football. An all-new season. Streaming now on Fox Nation. Sign up at FoxNation.com.
When investing leads to questions.
I will never go to a doctor ever again about my general health. All they want to do is put you on pills. Listen, I was at a place where I'd rather die. I had the best doctors that you could get from the best hospitals. None of them could stop snoring. None of them could get my blood pressure under control. None of them could get my cholesterol good and bad leveled out. It's all good now. This guy will change your life. Some of your favorite actors, some of the most powerful, richest people in the world are all now doing this with Gary for one reason and one reason only, because it works.
That guy gets you pumped up, right? From A-list celebrities to UFC fighters, human biologist, biohacker, Gary Brecka is the name behind some of the most radical health transformations happening today. You've probably heard the name and seen the face. He claims he can predict your death within 30 days just by looking at your blood. But more importantly, his goal is to stop it and make it longer. Why are so many putting their lives and their health in his hands? Let's meet longevity expert, host of the Ultimate Human Podcast, and chairman of the Maha Action Movement, Gary Brecka himself. Gary, what did you do for Dana White that was so transformational? I thought he was looking great anyway, but evidently he didn't feel great.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? We just did our three-year update. We had our three-year anniversary about a month ago, so we just did an updated podcast yesterday to just show that he's stayed in this mode of taking care of himself. And So basically, it was about getting back to the basics, Brian. You know, when we look at longevity research and we look at the real large pools of data, the reason why most people are not living healthier, happier, longer, more fulfilling lives is not because they're missing some rare root or some, rare recently discovered supplement or stem cells. It's for what we call modifiable risk factors. Just getting back to the basics, sunlight, grounding, breath work, a whole food diet absent of processed foods, and mobility into later in life, sense of community, sense of purpose, sense of connection. You know, this is medicine. You know, movement is medicine. Connection is medicine. Food is medicine. And the reason why we have a Food and Drug Administration is because right now in the United States, our food leads to the drugs. You know, we spend $5.5 trillion a year on healthcare, and we're the sickest, fattest, most disease-ridden nation in the world. And so when I met Dana White, he was on an entire plethora of meds for thyroid, for blood thinning, for tinnitus. He was on a CPAP machine. He was morbidly obese by clinical standards. His triglycerides, the measure of fat in his blood, was out of control. He was actually diabetic and didn't know it. And yet he was on cardiovascular medication and none of it was keeping it under control. Mm-hmm. So we did a 10-week keto diet reset, clean keto reset. And then we started a slow and eventually a very rigorous exercise program. He got all of the processed foods out of his diet. And yes, he also used red light therapy and pulse electromagnetic field and started drinking hydrogen water. But many of these modalities are not necessary to achieve a state of optimal health. There is an entire human being inside of most of your listeners right now that is just begging to get out. And it's hidden behind nutrient deficiencies, minerals, amino acids, vitamins, basic minerals that you can get off the shelf that would put you in a state of optimal health to thrive like you never thought you could before.
And I was listening to you, I think it was on Joe Rogan or your own podcast, where you talked about take the methylene test to find out what, you know, you might be lacking or what your genes tell you, because everybody's different, obviously.
Everybody's different. The biggest fallacy in all of modern medicine is that what goes into your body and my body and all the listeners' bodies is treated exactly the same way. Nothing could be further from the truth. There are fallacies in medicine that the majority of diseases are genetically inherited, yet there is no gene that carries that disease. People are told they have high blood pressure because their father or their uncle had it, but yet there's no gene that can identify that's passing that disease on to them. Right. What we pass from generation to generation rarely is disease. What we pass from generation to generation is the inability of the body to refine a raw material, which causes a deficiency, which leads to that disease.
Gotcha.
And to be very specific, this process in human beings is called methylation. I always use the analogy that we pull crude oil out of the ground.
Yeah.
But you can't put crude oil into your gas tank because the car doesn't understand that fuel source. You have to take crude oil and refine it into gasoline, and then the car can run. That refining process in human beings is called methylation. And when your methylation is broken, it causes nutrient deficiencies. And those deficiencies can be mapped to some of the most common ailments that humanity is suffering from: weight gain, water retention, poor hormonal regulation, poor sleep, poor focus and concentration, lack of waking energy. All of these things that the majority of us say we chalk up to aging.
So get that test. If you have the time, you'll go get the test, and it'll tell you a lot about yourself. They also offer with that 10X. Yeah, and so I want to give people some takeaways, because you could go for 2 hours and barely scratch the surface of everything you know. But the morning routine, you wake up, choose a time, stick to it, eye on the weekends. You also say that when you wake up, take your shoes off and walk in the dirt. Feel the grass. Watch.
Touch the surface of the earth. You know, a lot of people poo-poo this, but grounding and earthing is a very real thing. The earth has what's called a low Gauss current. And when we come in contact with the earth, we actually discharge into the earth. You can see this in your blood. I used to take people's blood, prick their finger, put it on a slide, and show them that their blood cells were kind of clumped together and stuck.
Right.
And then you walk for 15 or 20 minutes on the earth and they all separate, right? So grounding, sunlight, breath work, whole food diets, that's where you find the exceptions to health and longevity.
And he's also, by the way, Gary Brecka, he's a lot of the engine behind the massive Maha movement. that's apolitical. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to get America healthy again, and he's doing a lot of the work. Gary, thanks so much. We're going to have you back. So much to learn, so little time. And that's a cabin I'd like to hang out at. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, they're 10,500 feet.
Okay. Yeah. A little higher than I thought. Gary Brecka, thank you.
See you soon.
Up next, a portion of my interview with President Trump you have not heard yet. And don't forget, follow me on social media, Rumble, Instagram, X, Facebook, whatever you want. Also, Culper Club, new pictures of my brand new dog, Bear, 12 weeks old, and it's going to be big.
Don't miss all new episodes of Crime Cam 24/7.
I mean, look at that.
Sean Sticks Larkin is back.
You're being watched.
For the world's hottest real crime thrill ride. Don't miss your shot. Leap into action. And hang on for your life.
Try not to commit a crime on camera.
Crime Cam 24/7. Streaming now on Fox Nation.
Hey, it's just a thought.
When investing leads to questions.
And lastly, before we go, I had the president on my radio show this week, and I would have been remiss if I didn't thank him for his hard work and what he's done for my town of Massapequa to save the name Chiefs. Listen. And lastly, on behalf of Massapequa, you and Linda McMahon helping keep the Chiefs name.
Yep.
So that means
I'm
a lot.
Trying. I love Massapequa. I have a lot of friends in Massapequa, including you. But I love Massapequa. I've heard that name for years, okay? And they have a, you know, they have a championship team. We got to get the name back to the Chiefs. And you know what? They're demeaning the Indians by taking over. It's actually the opposite of what they think. It's a state problem, not a federal problem. So we have to interject, and we've done that, into the state. But the state is fighting us very hard. But I think we'll be successful with it.
I think they will. A lot of American Indian tribes are helping keep that name. And hopefully Warriors and T-Birds and everybody else that's fighting to keep their nicknames. That is it for us tonight. Make sure you grab Brian, go to BrianKilmeade.com and grab tickets to the Fox Nation event coming up on the 23rd, then Richmond, Virginia on the 27th, and in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, November 1st. Specials for One Nation, Fox Nation on that. Tune into my radio show from 9 to noon. We got special guests nonstop, Michael Goodwin, Brian Rotella, for example. And in just hours, we're about to do Fox and Friends, and every guest will be great, and you can't find cuter hosts in America. My final message to you is this. Stay within yourself and keep it right here on Fox. We could take a wide shot.
Days of gold. Well, it's a southern summer. Whiskey's in the air, dogs on the burner. Beer's ice cold, gotta drill a little later.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.